This has always been a word. God designed it that way. See, he spoke the universe into being in Genesis, the first chapter. For the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. But God, the speaking spirit, spoke and said, let there be light, and there was light.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Surely the word of the Lord is great and powerful, and it will last from age to age. And so we're just so thankful to be here today on our Blog Talk Radio show, The Prospering Soul. And we are continuing on in our discussion about forgiveness. And I'm really excited about today. We're going to have some exciting testimonies on the line talking about how, you know, they were able to forgive people for some of the things that have happened in their life. And I'm just so thankful for that, because the Bible says that we are overcome by the blood of the Lamb and from the word and by the word of our testimony. And sometimes when we get to testify to others about what God has done, they have a clearer picture of who God is and what God can do for even for their life. And so I'm just so thankful when we're able to be transparent enough to be able to tell how God has blessed us and what kind of avenues we had to go through in order just to come to a place of forgiveness from things that had hurt us. I have a couple of people on the line, and I'm going to ask them to introduce themselves, and then we will come back with prayer.
Yes, this is Monisa Douglas Clay.
Hey, Faith, Evangelist Monisa. This is one of my best friends, and I'm so thankful to have her on the line. She's such an awesome woman of God. And I'm glad for her to be on the line. She has an awesome testimony and an awesome ministry. And we're going to let her talk a little bit later. And who else do I have on the line?
Henry Creighton.
Hey, Mr. Henry. It's Mr. Henry. He's faithful. He's usually on here every week. And so thankful to have him on there. And I expect some others to join us a little bit later. And so I just want to open up with prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this day, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for our opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others, oh God, and hoping that this word will not return. You said when your word is sent out that it will not return unto you void. So we thank you, Lord, that the word will go out and it will establish the things that it is set out to do. We thank you, Lord, that every hearer that will hear the word, Lord Jesus, that it will fall on good ground. And, Lord, that they will be able to make some life changes because of the word of God. Not because of who we are, but because of who you are, God. We thank you that your word is drawing people unto thee, O God, and that people will have a different glimpse of what forgiveness is because of this broadcast. And we just thank you so much for that. And we ask all these and many other blessings we ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The week before last, we started talking about forgiveness and what it meant for God to forgive us. And, you know, why does God forgive us? We talked about that. What is forgiveness? And we talked about that. This week we're going to talk about what is forgiveness of others. Because so many times we want God to forgive us, but we forget about forgiving others. And so sometimes we continue to hold grudges and things like that, and we really don't embrace that we have to forgive others because we want God to forgive us. And so one of the scriptures that comes to my mind when I think about that is Matthew 6:14-15. It says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father, who will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sin. And so those are some of the things that we have to think about. If we want forgiveness, we have to be willing to forgive others. And sometimes, you know, I know things people have done or things have happened and that are very horrific in nature, and sometimes it's hard for people to come to a place of forgiveness because they're holding on to what was done to them, and they feel like that holding that grudge or holding that, not so much a grudge, but just holding that contempt of somebody in their heart to be upset with them about what they did for them is really hurting the other person, but when in reality is really hurting you as a person. And so that you have to learn how to release them and by through forgiveness, so that the Lord can begin to heal what's on the inside of you. And so I think that, you know, that's something. I remember one time I was talking, I think I talked a little bit about this on the broadcast, when I was talking to a young lady, and she had told me how she had been molested for 13 years of her life by her father, and so she just really hated him, and she couldn't forgive him. And, you know, and I told her, I said, well, I said, you're going to have to find a way to forgive him. And I told her, I believe if you continue to say, I forgive him, Lord, I forgive him, that the Lord will begin to manifest that in your heart, and then you will be able to release him. She said, but right. She said, well, I'm going to say it, but I'm going to say it pissed off. And I told her, well, just go ahead and say it pissed off. That's okay. Because eventually when the Lord manifests it in your heart, you won't be pissed off about it anymore. And you'll begin to receive the healing that you need, because then you release it, and then God can begin to work on healing you instead of you acting out or allowing these other avenues to come up on your life because you're still holding that one thing, and it's caused some other issues to come up on your life. And so I think, you know, I just believe God. I don't know if she ever got to that place or not, but I just believe God that if she did it, that the Lord would manifest forgiveness in her heart and that he would begin to send healing to her and that she would be changed forever. And so what do you all think about that type of forgiveness when you think about people forgiving others?
Well, I think that, you know, one of the major things I think from any experience is the fact that, you know, people don't forgive because sometimes they give them ownership. It depends on how significant the wound has been. And so sometimes people hold on to it for a whole bunch of reasons. Sometimes people hold on to it because they feel like the person should never be forgiven. And then sometimes people hold on to it because they feel like that's their only empowerment, is to hold on to it, and they can't forget it, because if they forget it, then they may have to experience it again. So I think in a lot of cases people go through that, but I know that the word itself says that we can forgive, and that restoration that we need. You know, like the scripture said, you know, standing before we go, he doesn't hear us. If we can't forgive, you know, we're receiving this mercy or this grace from God that is not all that God wants to give us. So I think sometimes people are in those places because of the level of what they've been wounded by. And God still requires that we forgive. But I think that forgiveness is a process. I think that people have, like you told the young lady, she needs to confess it. I think that the confession is a major part of it, because it's not what we feel, because if we go by our feelings, we'll do nothing, because our feelings are important to us. So when a person goes by their feelings, you know, the pain of what you've been through, your feelings have been hurt, your feelings have been injured, you've been, some people have been set off track, you know, the thing that they thought they were going to, this one particular issue may have caused them to even have to do a new route in their life. And so people have made, you know, these decisions that I can't forget what I've done or what I've experienced, because if I do, then I could be there again. But I think that a lot of that is that process that we have to go through, that human process. But I think that there's a spiritual process where God can give us the strength that we need to start taking those steps of confession, those steps of healing, those steps of forgiveness, to get to a place where God can help us get better in our heart, because it's not easy. It's not an easy task, especially depending on what the wound size is. As you know, sometimes you have a small wound with a little scab, it doesn't hurt as much as when you've got a larger wound, you need to get the larger Band-Aid. Or if you get a wound that's so open that they've got to really put some time to it, and the doctor's got to really look at it and process it and help you with the largeness of that wound. And sometimes it seeps, and sometimes they have to go through and give you an antibiotic, and then sometimes They have to lance it and get the poison out of it and then pack it and get it in there so that they can start the healing process. And I think that's how the wounds are to us in this natural way. And sometimes spiritually, we've got to have God come and do that same problem. There's the balm of Gilead. He's got to come with that balm that will heal those places in our life that the enemy has wounded us.
Yes, I believe that. That is so true. And that leads me into this next thing. It says, because I was talking about what is forgiveness of others. And it says, as believers, our relationship with God is restored, but what about our relationship with other fellow human beings? And it's just like you said, sometimes it takes a process to go through. It's like you said, sometimes you got to pack the wound. You got to do this to the wound. You got to bandage. You got to put this on, some kind of salve on it to begin it to heal and all those kind of things. And so sometimes you got to work through those particular processes in order to get to the place of total healing. And it says, the Bible states that when someone hurts us, we are under an obligation to God to forgive that person. Jesus is very clear on that point. And then it talks about refusing to forgive is a sin. And see, a lot of times people don't think of that as a sin. They just think, well, my feelings is hurt, and so right now this is where I am, and I'm just going to stay right here, and hopefully, it'll get better. And so, but we can't do that. We can't do that. We have to. And this is easier said than done. Don't think what I'm saying is just some easy task. You can just flip it on and do it. It's not that easy. It is easier said than done. But we have to try to work through a process to get there. It says if we receive forgiveness from God, we must give it to others who hurt us. We cannot hold grudges or seek revenge. Because the Bible says over in Romans 12, it says, vengeance is mine and I will repay, saith the Lord. So if you're seeking revenge on somebody that has hurt you, then you're in error. Because that is not your place to do that, and that's not what God would require, especially for believers. It's not what God requires us to do, because he clearly says it. Vengeance is mine and I will repay, saith the Lord. We have to release these things to God and allow God to handle them. And then it says we are to trust God for justice and forgive the person who offended us. That does not mean we must forget the offense. However, usually that's beyond our power. Forgiveness means releasing the others from blame, leaving the event in God's hands, and moving on. Well, did somebody else have a comment? We had another caller on the line. Would you introduce yourself?
Hello?
I was just asking you to introduce yourself. I know we had another caller on the line.
Oh, my name is Kristen.
Hi, Kristen.
Hi, how are you guys?
We're wonderful, and yourself?
I'm terrible. That's why I call
well,
it.
Okay. Well, what is your issue?
I'm extremely wounded. My emotions are running out of control. I'm in that place where you're abandoned. You're alone, and it's you and God. You know what I'm saying? And I'm having crazy dreams. I'm not sleeping. I'm not eating. I'm just all over the place. So that's what I have this intense hatred of myself.
Mhm.
And that's why I'm listening, because I need to learn how to forgive.
Yeah, and because and this is the thing. This is what sometimes, Christian, we don't understand. We got to forgive ourselves. Sometimes we hold ourselves in contempt. We'll go ask God to forgive us. And then God, when we ask God to forgive us, he forgives us right then. He forgives us. And he remembers it. No, he remembers the offense no more. But a lot of times we keep remembering it because the enemy wants us to keep reiterating it. And anybody else can jump in at any time. Reiterate it in our mind what has happened or what has happened to keep us bound. But when we ask God to forgive us, he forgives. He forgives us. And so when we have to learn to say, well, Lord, thank you for forgiving me, and I forgive myself. And sometimes we just have to keep repeating that and allow God to begin to heal. Anybody else want to comment?
The sister, this is Henry. The sister was saying something that I'm trying to be clear on. So, sister, what's the issue you were talking about that you're going through and you're so down on yourself about?
I was actually out walking, and there's a lot of people around, and I didn't know that I was going to be put on the line.
Oh, that's okay. And if you don't want to be put on the line, we won't put you in that place. We'll just let you listen. Do you just want to listen for a while?
Well, I want to talk, but I didn't want to talk in front of all those people that were standing there.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? I try to keep it quiet. But I had suffered horrible sexual abuse as a child.
Mm-hmm.
My father was an alcoholic. My mother abandoned me. And I was passed around so much growing up that I just always thought that there was something wrong with me. And then as I grew up, it just, because of my circumstances, I just got involved in more and more and more stupidity. Mm-hmm. And now at this point in my life, I had three children. We were in church together. We were raising our babies. And one day he just ups and leaves because he said, I won't let anybody love me. And he just walked out the door, which made me completely crash into, I had nothing. I was a homemaker. I didn't have a home. I didn't have a job. I didn't have money. So then him and his girlfriend got my kid. And ever since then, he has been horrible to me with leaving my children.
It seems awful. It seems like God himself had you to call today, because I have three children. My husband left me when the oldest was six. I had a six-year-old, a four-year-old, and an 18-month-old. And he left me for another woman. And some of the things that were said to me was that nobody will ever love me is because I've been through a situation where, for him, it was like, you got three kids, you're heavy now, and I'm leaving, and here you go. So I just want to assure you that yes, it's rough. Yes, it makes you feel like that you have been abandoned and that you are not worth anything, not only to him but to God. I was a housewife at the time that he left. I had to go back to school, get a career. I had to do all of that. But let me assure you of this. Let me assure you that you are not alone. And let me assure you that God has the ability to take you where you need to be. Let me encourage you not to step away from God, not to step away from being a regular. I tell people all the time, being a regular at church, because that's where you get your strength. We overcome because of what we hear by the word. And then, you know, faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word. So all of those things are so significant. I'm telling you from my own experience. I didn't feel like I could make it. I didn't feel like I was going to be able to get to the other side of my situation. But I promise you, you know, somebody said to me one time, what did she say? She said, time brings about a change. And I just wanted to just jump up and down and just jump on her stomach, because who wants to hear that when you literally can't walk, eat, or sleep? Your mind won't shut down because you're in so much pain.
And then he went back to drugs. So when he went back to drugs, right, he's an abuser with me, and he was my kid. So I'm still being, like, traumatized over and over and over again, and I'm trying to get myself better, but it's like somebody just keeps twisting that knife in that wound.
Yeah.
So at this point,
Let me say this to you. My husband ended up addicted to drugs as well. So I think I think we have a lot in common, Tristan, but let me say this to you. The only thing that I can give you today that's going to help you start your healing process is something that nobody gave me at the time but the Holy Spirit himself, and that was the process of waiting and forgiving. That was the only thing that was going to help me and was going to get me to this next place in my life. I had to wait on God, and I had to be able to forgive on the journey, and it was not easy. It was a lot of times it was knocked down, drag out. But God has been faithful. Now, let me say this to you. If I can get you to remember anything, you got to be faithful to wherever you believe in God at, and whatever church you're going to that's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have to be faithful to that, because that's the only thing that's really going. I could tell you a whole bunch of stuff today, but that's not really going to be the thing that makes the difference. The thing that's going to make the difference is that word that prayer time that you have before God and the fasting that you do to turn down your plate. Those are the things that are going to make you stronger, and it's going to take that wound that's got a knife in it, as you say, and God will take the healing balm and start to lift those things. But the one thing that's true that the person said to me that I just did not want to embrace is that time does bring about a change. It absolutely does.
Frederick, I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to do anything. I panic all the time.
Yeah.
And it's like I don't even see how I'm going to make a change if I can't even get out of bed. And it's not a choice because I want to.
Yeah. Well, Denise, do you mind if we pray now?
No.
We're on the radio. We're here too, Randy and Phyllis are here.
Thank you.
Tristan, do you mind if I pray for you now?
No, go ahead. I'm actually sitting on the bench at the church.
Okay. All right. Father God, it's in the name of Jesus that we pray Tristan to you now in the mighty name of Jesus. We know it's not by our power, neither is it by our might, but it's by the Spirit of the living God. I ask that you touch Tristan's mind as you touched my mind over 20-something years ago, and God, you established in me that I could make it. And God, if I stayed before the throne of God, that you would give me the strength that I needed to go through the journey. God, I know that you are capable right now of increasing her strength. In the mighty name of Jesus, you're able for the spirit of heaviness that's in her life now. You're able to give her a garment of praise. I pray for her children. I pray for her protection. And God, most of all, I pray for Christian's peace today. I speak peace in her situation, peace in her soul, and peace in her spirit right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And I declare that she will begin to walk in forgiveness, that you will take her on the journey and bring her out on the other side. It's in the name of Jesus we pray, and we believe you. Thank God. Amen.
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 You're all right, Tristan. Hold on to Jesus. Hold on to him.
Can I say something to the sister? This is Henry. Sister, be encouraged. You know, God is faithful, and God is able to heal us of all things. It's good that you call. No matter, you know, people can do what they want to do, and people will do what, you know. If people do things that are very terrible, and, you know, like you think, for example, you know, give this story, a biblical story, reflects in our own life. You think about what Israel was going through in terms of being a slave for 400 years and being trapped and being abused and abused and abused. God did not necessarily make that happen, but people caused that stuff to happen. And when God came and heard the cry, he came and delivered them. And they were so surrounded by all kinds of mess. It did not seem they were going to get out. When you've been in bondage for 400 years, everything seems dark, and it seems like you're never going to get out. And God came and delivered them. And even while they were getting out, the Pharaoh decided to chase them, and there was a Red Sea before them. God delivered them. He's a master in delivering us. Just remember Psalms 27, if you can read that. That psalm is when Saul was actually chasing David, and David was stuck in the cave of Adullam, and he wrote this Psalm 27. But at the end of the psalm, he says something very interesting that you can take to heart, that I have used this before in my own personal life, because I have had some difficulties. And David said in his psalm at the end of it, when it seemed like there was no hope, David reminds us, he said, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. And he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He repeated that again. So in other words, what he's saying, he said, no matter how difficult it is, how dark it is, God will, not that God might, but God will deliver you.
He will.
And you can read that Psalm 27 and let it rest in your heart and in your spirit. God is actually delivering you.
Praise God.
Amen.
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 we want you to hang on the line with us, Kristen, and we got some other things we're going to talk about for forgiveness, and we pray that it will just continue to strengthen you as we go along. And we got some testimonies that are going to come forth about things, because I understand, and I don't know if you was on the line when I was talking about the other young lady that had been molested. She had told me she had been molested for 13 years, because you did say that. And I told her, I said, you know, she said she was so angry, and I told her, you know, she said, I don't know how I can forgive them for molesting me. And anyway, I told her, I said, well, just continue to confess. She said, well, if I do it, I'm going to say it pissed off. And I told her, just go ahead and say it pissed off. That's okay. But because what I do know is that the Lord will begin to manifest that in your heart. And he will cause you to come to a place of forgiveness. And then he can begin to give you the healing that you need on the inside. Sometimes we just got to confess things. We might not even mean it at the time. But if we keep telling the Lord, Lord, I forgive them. And Lord, I forgive myself. Lord, I forgive them. And then the Lord will begin to manifest that in your heart.
Yeah.
I want you to be encouraged. And
okay.
It's not an easy task, but but if you just begin to confess it, I believe God will do it for you.
Okay.
Okay, so just keep listening.
God bless you.
I'm sorry, it's hard for me to hear because I can't get a signal anywhere.
Okay. Well, just keep listening.
Okay.
Yeah, just keep listening.
You know, Sister Denise, one of the things with forgiveness is that although it's difficult and it's hard, but I think one of the things that makes it so difficult, first of all, you were abused and you were hurt, and that is sad. Someone took advantage of you. And sometimes dealing with God, sometimes the assumption is that God is going to do nothing. And this person, it seems like this person is getting away with it, or this person has gotten away with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not. You know, Scripture says that, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And one of the places when we think about it, which is real, because if you think about it, Israel going under this stress and strain of slavery and abuse for 400 years, it seemed as if they say the power that be Egypt was going to get away with it. But you know, when God came to bring deliverance and he sent Moses, one of the things that he did, he hardened Pharaoh's heart. He made Pharaoh stubborn so that Pharaoh can be caught up in his own weight and strength in order to exalt him and just dash him to the ground and make him know that he's nothing. So God made him feel that way, and he began to abuse the people. And that's when God started bringing the plagues one by one. While Israel was sitting down, they didn't have to fight. They didn't have to do anything. They just watched. All they had to do was watch, and God broke down an entire nation with 10 plagues. And do you know what it's like to watch your enemy go through some things? Like, God says, sit down. You don't have to get your hands dirty. I will take care of them. And you will see your God. So sometimes we think that people are getting away with it. No, they're not. No, they're not. They may walk around smiling for a long time, but just release them to God. Because God, when God gets ready to deal with your enemies, you yourself will feel sorry for them. He's the master of dealing with our enemies. That's why we got to be careful that we don't do the wrong things, because God wants to do it for us. He doesn't want to get our hands dirty. He wants to take care of them for us. They never get away with it. And forgiving them is also freeing you, because one of the worst things is that somebody who hurt you walking around laughing while you stuck in heaviness, but they're walking around laughing. Somewhere we have to wrestle with ourselves and say, you know what, I release them, and I release them to God. And just watch what God does.
Yes.
people. Amen.
I believe that, and I really do believe that. We have to give this over to the Lord and allow him to be able to do the work. He's going to do the work if we just, like you said, he wants us to give him the give. He wants us, he said, what, cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. So he wants you to do that. I believe she lost her signal and she dropped off the line, so hopefully she'll come back on the line so she can be able to finish hearing the rest of the broadcast. But I wonder, does anybody else have anything else on forgiveness, on what it means to forgive others and you know, what are some, you know, what you've had to do yourself on forgiving someone that has really hurt you and the process that you might have went through? Does anybody else have? And then I want that Monisa tell her testimony, because, you know, the time goes real quick. I said, first, before we know it, the hour be over. It goes so quick when we really having a good time. So does anyone else have anything they want to say?
Yeah, let me say this, Elder, this Henry. I remember when my older brother got killed, got shot, and I saw his sandals on the road. I was so upset that I just felt like, now, I'm from Liberia, and it was during a civil war, and I just wanted to take a gun and shoot somebody back. I was hurting so bad that my older brother got cut down the way he got cut down. And the reality, I was a young guy, I was a kid, but I also had access to guns because we were fighting a major civil war. And when I saw my brother's sandals, that day, something in my mind just, it was so confusing. All I wanted to do was to just grab an AK and just shoot somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And just shoot somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thank God that didn't happen. And whoever killed my brother, I'm sure the Lord avenged it. Even
mm-hmm.
as
yes.
a boy coming up, I really didn't grow up with my father. And there were some things, some painful things. And I realized that, look, if you continue to hold certain grudges against your father, man, you're going to live in bondage.
Mm-hmm.
Because you will end up being like him. Release him. And I tell
yeah.
you, when I did that, I was free. I was a better person, you know. And I got delivered by just releasing him. And I was so free. And it
Thank
caused
you.
Me to learn, because sometimes when you hold somebody hostage, remember, we came from our parents and they passed the nature down to us. So
yeah.
It was time for me to pause and say, you know what? What's in my father is also in me. And if I feel
yeah.
angry, I will be blinded by that fact and be hurting other people, not realizing it. And I see people do that. I even got some family members sometimes I watch. They say other people treat them bad, but they are worse.
Mm-hmm.
Because they never took the time to analyze the issue and let God work on their heart. And they complain about people who treated them bad, but they're worse, or just as bad. So it is very important for us to do these things, and that's why I'm giving my own testimony. Because it,
yeah.
it works. And I'm sure it's not over, because I'm still living. And people are
yes.
going to do things. But I got to brace myself and say, you know what? Let people go.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I'd like to say something before.
Go ahead, Elder.
Monisa gives her testimony. I find that the key, even as being a minister of the gospel and going through things personally, that the Lord will allow certain things for you to go through, and then he'll come back and will ask the question, well, Lord, why? Just like Gideon asked why, you know, we'll ask
mm-hmm.
why. And then the Lord will come back and say, well, this is why. And I think the key to forgiveness is first forgiving yourself.
Yeah.
And he'll let you go through certain things so that you can experience forgiving yourself, and then you can tell others about forgiveness, God's forgiveness. It's a process,
mm-hmm.
and it's power in that.
Mm-hmm.
is power in forgiving yourself, because releasing yourself gets you out of the hands of the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a powerful tool. You got to forgive yourself before you can go further in anything. I believe you have to forgive yourself before you can forgive anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with you. All of it starts with you. And the Lord helps us to realize that principle, because it starts with the principle of forgiving yourself, and then everything else just follows through like dominoes. It has a domino effect. And I believe that's what strengthens us to forgive others, when we recognize ourselves.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Amen. Mrs. Clay, we'll ask you to give your testimony.
Oh, okay. Well, my testimony is, I started to share some of it with our caller, but it was, I was a young wife with three children, as I stated earlier, a housewife, and my husband ended up on drugs and with another woman out of the house and left me basically with three children. I remember leaving, at that time I was in the city of Fort Wayne. I left and had to come back home to live because he left us without source, without income, without anything. And so I came back home to Indianapolis to stay with my mother in a two-bedroom apartment with my other two sisters, and went through just some years of very intense pain, intense situations. The woman wasn't what you call a typical woman that pulls a man out of the house. She was a known prostitute on the streets of the city. Her mother was a soothsayer, so there was a lot involved in my situation. I mean, she climbed and broke in doors. She broke in cars. She left lace items on my car every day. She left wash rags under my pillow if I would leave home. And every day the question was given to him that I later found out, will your family make it home alive today? And so we had a very intense situation, and my husband at the time had bought into the situation that, you know, this was the woman for him. And so in the midst of that situation, I had to contend with this woman who was not in a right mind, and certainly didn't have my best interest or my children's best interest at heart. But as we transitioned, it was a lot of years. I remember waiting 7 years because I was in hopes that God would transform his mind and help him come and see the reality of what he had done so that our family could stay strong, because he was a good husband. He was a great father. And so for me, the waiting was something that I needed to do in order to ensure that my children had an opportunity and myself had an opportunity for growth as a family. And I just felt like God did not want divorce, and I fought it with everything within me to make sure that I could maintain as long as possible. And I just remember that it was quite a journey, because it's hard to see somebody that you love and that you're in covenant with be consistently in the streets, and then it went from that woman to another woman and back to that woman. So it was all this transition that went on. But I remember that there was never a time that we could even get on the phone at any point and have anything reasonable say. It always ended up in an argument, it always ended up in accusations and who was at fault and all that. But I remember one day, my children, I'll never forget it, they were probably teenagers before I even recognized this was going on. They said to me one day, we're really tired of this. This makes us uncomfortable. And, you know, we just don't understand why you guys can't get along. And that was like my wake-up call. It was like, okay, I need to get my stuff together, because my children are being impacted by what I'm showing them as a relationship with their father. Even though I can't share with them everything that happened, I have to protect them from that, and I have to make sure that they don't, you know, they don't go against him and they don't dislike their dad because of the mistakes that he made. So it was a journey for me. It was hard. It was intense. But I made a decision that day when my children talked to me that I needed to start on a better journey than what I had been on. And God started to show me myself in the situation, saying, you know, this is what you need to change. And so as I started to change, there was still this challenge, because when he would talk, he had been used to talking to me at the same level all these years. But at this time, I'm starting to make this transition because God is telling me I need to change. And many times in our situations when we have these injuries or we have these things that we're holding against people, a lot of times God is not really looking at the person that we have our finger pointed at. He's really looking at us and saying, what can you change to be able to be okay with where you're at right now? And so I think that was the start of my journey of forgiving. I think that, it was, like I said earlier, it is a process. It is not something that happened because I think overnight, because I think many times people are licking their wounds. I was saying, you know, I was a good wife. I had these three children. They're his kids. I didn't sleep around in the street. I didn't do this and I didn't do that. So I was going through these, what I had right. And then God started to show me what I had wrong. But you're not forgiven. You're not walking in forgiveness. You're not willing to release him from the wrong that he's done. And you're not really willing to release yourself for the fact, because there was a period that I said, what did I do wrong? Because I thought I was doing everything I should do. And so I think that as Elder Dodson has said earlier, I think that we have to look at ourselves and then get that forgiveness piece that we said to ourselves first, because then I had to come back with, I've done all that the Lord has commanded me. All that I understood to do, I was trying to. And I was doing it for all the right reasons, not to make sure everybody else knew I was perfect at it, but to know that God was looking and saying, okay, you're the wife that I'm calling you to be. But I think as, like I said, as my children said that to me and I started the process was very simple. There were times I refused to go back and forth and debate. That was my first start. I mean, it was a process. I started, you know, if he says something that's going to spark me, then I'm going to back off because God is challenging me to do that. And then, of course, it moves to another stage where I say, okay, we need to come together for our children, so how do we do this? What can you do? What can I do? And then if it wasn't all the 100% piece that I wanted, I just went, I met him halfway to get to a place where we could have something reasonable happen. And as we started that process, then God began to start to heal me, to say, it's okay, restore it. And I'll never forget the night that I said to him, he called one night and he was kind of out of himself and he was, you know, apologizing because he couldn't believe he's in the state that he's in. You know, he's left his family. And I said to him, I've forgiven you. I said, and now you need to forgive yourself, because forgiving yourself is what gives you the restoration you need. And then I don't have to worry about you feeling like what you did to us, I'm never going to get better. I'm getting better. I'm getting better, and I just want you to be healed as well. And so here we are, you know, removed 20-something years now, but those things have happened, and God has been faithful. But I believe it's because first I had to want to hear the truth. I had to want to walk in what God was saying, and then I had to be willing to face that process and know that I wasn't going to always get it perfect, but wasn't going to always get it right, but God was going to give me the grace that I needed to get to a better place. And now, you know, as I said, here we're 20-something years removed now, kids all grown and all that, but God has been faithful to helping me forgive, and I don't wish him any harm, any harm's way at all. And often tell him, you know, you were a great husband, you were a great father, you just made a mistake, and at this point in our lives, we moved to someplace better. I just want you to be okay, because I really am okay now. So I think healing can happen. It's just if we are willing to go through the steps with God, get it there, because we really can't do it on our own.
No. Mm-hmm. We cannot. And that's such a good point, because we cannot do it on our own. It does take God. God is in there with us, but we just got to allow him to begin the healing process as we begin the process to forgive. Elder Dodson, were you getting ready to say something?
No, I was going to agree. I was saying amen.
Okay.
But you're right. We need divine intervention.
Yes.
We definitely need the Lord to do it for us, because we don't know how.
Yeah. And I think that's such an awesome testimony, because a lot of people, when they do go through the divorce process, there's so much anger and bitterness that comes with it. And people stay mad for years and years and years, and they care less how it impacts the kids. And I think sometimes that's so unfortunate, but I'm just thankful to God that how he took you through the process of making sure that your kids were not affected by it. Because some people think nothing about that. They just go on in their own anger and in their own, you know, bitterness and upset, being upset about things that they don't even care. And even when they hear that the other person is not doing well and they rejoice in that, none of that is godly. None of that is godly. So to hear how you processed it and you went through it is just, to me, such an awesome testimony. And I even know that there's more to it, a little bit more detail than that, you know, some other things that went on. But still, you were able to get through that process and really be a blessing to your children. And I know for sure that they don't have any grievance against their dad or anything like that, but you were able to do that. And that, to me, that's just such an awesome testimony. And then to be able to move on yourself and to even to remarry and things like that and to go on and be blessed. So I just really think that it's such an awesome testimony, and so many people need to hear the testimony of the saints. Now, this is one thing I said I was going to talk about even myself, is about how sometimes even the church can hurt you.
Yeah.
And how, you know, things can happen in the church. And you being in the church and those things help you. I was helping out with a ministry, and one of the people that had been put in charge at the time, I don't know what the situation was, but anyway, one of the things that they did to me, I had to keep asking after it was done. I was very angry when it happened, and because what they did was they were trying, I don't know what all it was about, but anyway, they sent to my job a letter of to say that I was fired from, because I was doing bookkeeping at the church, and you know, so they wanted to make changes for whatever reason they were wanting to make changes, and they sent this letter to my job, faxed it after I left work, and made sure that happened. They made sure that happened, and then somebody at my job found it. Mm-hmm. So when I got in the morning, this here was this letter from the church sitting on my desk saying that I was no longer an employee there. And so when you think about that, I got real angry about it. And I called, you know, the powers that be, and I talked about it. And I mean, I was really angry, but I was fighting angry is what I was, because I was ready to fight. And so, and I remember pastor's wife kept telling me, you know, do not, you know, Bible says be angry and sin not, be angry and sin not. But at the point, at that time, I wanted to sin because I wanted to fight. And I had to keep, and so I finally got to a calm place, but this is what I had to keep saying to myself so that I would not let that affect my relationship first with God and with the church. I kept telling myself, I kept saying these words. This is why I know that you can confess something enough to it manifest. This is why I know that, because I kept saying these words. I got to love the saints. Lord, help me to love the saints, be past what they've done to me, help me to love the saints. I just kept repeating that over and over daily. Again, I kept repeating that to myself. Lord, I've got to love the saints. Please help me to love them and help me not to hold anything against them. And I just kept telling myself that. And to this day, we're all clear. Because of that, it was because I took that stand myself to say I didn't want to hold, because it was a very hurtful thing to me. And there's been other horrific things that have happened over in life, but that one thing, I wanted to bring it out because it was something that happened in the church. And sometimes you can be people are people no matter what. And so they can be saved, but they can also have some things that are going on in their life that cause them to act in a different way. And so we have to be careful about that. But I had to keep telling myself that I'm going to love the saints. And I just kept telling myself regardless. And so I kept saying that to myself till I was clear. And today I am clear with those people that did that to me, because I thought they were really doing something to try to hurt me. And I know this don't compare to a lot of other things, but that is just a tidbit of what can happen that you and how you can confess things and to let the Lord manifest those confessions in your life, that you can come out of it in a different light. Does anybody else have anything they want to talk about? Talk about as far as forgiving others and the process you go through. It is a process, and it is it's not an overnight sensation, but it is something that you go through. But I believe once you begin to release it, God begins to bring healing.
I think that one of the things that really is the greatest enemy to forgiveness is our feelings. Because if we let our feelings can take us on journeys that faith never takes us on, in the sense of the success. We can say, I feel this way today. If I look at the course of my feelings in the course of a week, my feelings can be here one day, down here another day, over there another day. So I think that the faith, the issue of faith and the issue of what the Word has said to us, like you said, this confession piece is the thing that we must stay with, because it is a challenge to be an emotional being and to make sure you maintain your spiritual faith. It is a challenge, and that's the thing the enemy tries to steal from us all the time, because we can always talk about how we feel. And that's men and women, even though women are more feeling than men, but men have feelings. We can always go with our feelings. But our feelings take us on a joyride. So we got to be cautious about that, and we really got to keep it. I remember one thing Joyce Meyer said, sometimes we got to do this thing about faith, even though we can't see it. We have to stay with it, because it is the thing that's going to get us the results that we're waiting for.
Yes, because forgiveness is a conscious choice. It really is a conscious choice. You have to choose to forgive.
Yes, it is.
Because if you're dealing with it based upon your feelings and all of that, your emotional state, you would never do it, because your emotional state can keep you flip-flopping back and forth. So you got to make a conscious decision that I'm going to forgive them.
One of the things that I didn't say is that this woman was in our lives two days, and my son was hit by a car and was in intensive care. And if you can imagine as a person what it was like to have this woman fashioned in front of all of my family and fighting with a nurse to be able to see my son that she had only met one time, and to try to separate myself from the emotion of what was going on with my child, giving them 20% chance to make it through the night, and dealing with a woman who was just out there as far as being this one that wants to intimidate and torment you. It was a challenge. And I remember the day that the Lord, this was 3 years into this, my husband was with this woman, and the Lord spoke to me one day and woke me up and said, the scripture that said you did run well was intended for you, that you don't obey the truth. He told me that was a scripture that I needed to give to the person that I took my husband out of house. And I told the Lord, wait a minute, I don't even want to talk to her. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I need you to call her right now and tell her that. I gave her that scripture that day, and that day she left my husband, and to this day has never come back. She's been reclaimed. I didn't even know she had been saved. She's been reclaimed and is sharing the gospel and doing ministry in the city after all of those years. And God helped me to heal, because he made me walk by obedience and faith to say that to her, and that caused her life to turn around. Now, just think, if I had gone by my feelings, her life would not be restored, and neither would mine, because I would have been in my feelings. So I'm just thankful that God has a way of restoring people to their original state and causing us to be obedient and do things that we otherwise wouldn't have been able to do in our own natural strength.
Thank you.
Yeah. Can I say something about that, too? You know, I remember one time I was on a job a few years ago, and there was this young guy. We used to be friends, and then they made him head of our department. When he came, I think he didn't know how to handle the power, you know, and he was just pushing people around. And personally, I wasn't going to take it. And one day we were out there, you know, it was an engineering company. So we were looking at soils, you know, how to get soil from the field, analyze it, tell people what they need to do or don't do. So the guy went out there wanting to put all the dirt on the table. I mean, just in ways that we don't do it. So I was trying to explain it to the guy. The guy wouldn't listen, and I was just so upset. And one time he kind of roughed me up a little, and I went and reported to our head engineer and our supervisor. And he didn't, you know, he said, well, that's your guy. That's the guy I put over you. So I left it alone. And then he did it a second time. and you know, I was so upset, but I felt like just calm down and talk to him. I said, look, man, you know, try to, you know, calm down. He said, man, but why are you getting in my face? So I'll just, you know, leave this cat alone. So he kept doing it, and I went to the, you know, the supervisor. I said, look, this guy, I don't know if he's your man, but his attitude is bad. There are people, he and myself are the two younger guys back there. He pretty much disrespects everybody. And this is my second time coming to you to tell you. But I just want you to know that this is my second time. You know, that's why I told the supervisor. So I just want you to know I came, and this is my second time. So please take more. Take more. This is my second time. So I left. And, you know, I didn't make no fuss. You know, I started coming, just walk away. And within minutes, you know, the supervisor calling me in his office and firing. I didn't have to fight. I didn't have to yell at him. So, but I just watched how God does things. You know what I mean? I didn't yell. I took it easy. And they fired him. And then he came back in the office. He was like, man, this whole place going on fire. Everybody mad. He didn't seem to understand that he was the problem because everybody is telling him the same thing. But later on, you know, we remained good friends. And later on, he told me, say, Henry, man, you know what? I didn't understand, man, that you guys were my friends. And I didn't think, you know, I did not know how to handle the power. And I went over my head. You know what I mean? So I think if I would have started to take matters into my own hands and start yelling and shouting with this guy, I think probably God would have just stood back, you know. But I just, you know, I dealt with it in such a way that I'm not saying that's how I always deal with things. But this particular day, it's how I dealt with it. And God got the glory out of me. Well, it means the guy was fine.
Wow.
You know, so I think we just got to learn, you know, from these things and, you know, just release things to God. Because when we go into these things, sometimes we feel like the enemy will try to make you feel like you're silly or like you're doing something wrong. You know, you should do something about it. Don't let people do that to you. No, it's always good to look silly and let God look strong.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Well, you know, as it is, we have 3 minutes left. I tell you, that time goes by so fast. And so we'll be back next week talking about forgiveness again. We're going to keep talking about it till the Lord says something different. And so we want to continue on that vein, talking about forgiveness, because it really is a topic that I think every Christian or every person has to deal with in life. And so we want people to be clear about, you know, God's stand on forgiveness, how we need to forgive ourselves and how we can forgive others, and then the processes that others have went through to come to a place of wholeness, dealing with the tragedies that they have faced with other people. So I thank God for the conversation today. I'm going to ask Sister Dodson if she will pray us out and that we will and will bless us through prayer. And I thank everybody that has tuned in, everybody that called in, every participant that has been on the line today. May God continue to bless you and do exceeding abundantly above all that you can even ask or think. And we thank God for all of those that will hear. I pray today that the Lord would draw people to this broadcast that needed it. And I thank God for answering my request. Sister Dodson, will you pray us out?
Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you because we know that you are just simply God and that you hear our prayers and you answer our prayers, dear God. Oh, God, I pray that the young lady that called that needed to forgive and needed to forgive herself and her husband, I pray, dear God, that you will continue to bless her and each and every one of us, dear God, help us to walk in forgiveness, dear God, because we won't make it in unless we forgive, dear God, because you forgave us, Lord, and then we have to forgive one another. Dear God, I thank you for this opportunity. I pray you help us to walk through this week and realize that you have a plan and a purpose for our lives. No matter what our current situation shows us, dear God, help us to move and look up unto the hills from which cometh our help, but to take us to another level so that we may see you, dear God. I pray that you move by your spirit and bless everyone here this night that's on this broadcast. Bless their families, Unless they're going out and they're coming in, this time forth, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, and I bless your name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So once again, I just like to thank everybody. And if you are out there and you do not know the Lord in the pardon of your sins and you haven't accepted him today, accept Christ as your Savior. The Bible says if you confess with your heart the Lord Jesus and believe that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's Romans 10, verses 9 through 10. If you want to read that and begin to ask God to forgive you, he will do that. And then find you a good Bible-teaching church and begin to attend church, and God will bless you, and he'll cause you to have faith, and he'll cause you to grow and to mature. You might start on milk, but you'll end on meat. So we thank you, Lord, for just the opportunity. God bless you, and may he keep you. And we thank you, and we'll look forward to hearing for you tuning in next week. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. God bless you all.